Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show with William H. Calvin. Okay, after they have given me the terrible look, and now that you've explained how this could be, the final thing invariably people say to me is, well, what should I do about it? Now, maybe this is not an I, maybe it's a we.
Yes, it's definitely a we.
So give me both answers. What should I do about it? What should we do about it?
Yeah, while all the things that are true about global warming are still hold true, that is to say, one should try to cut down on the pollution of the atmosphere that leads to global warming. Global warming by itself is not the only way this can get tripped. We're sort of near the end of a warm period in the ice ages in any event, and would have to worry even if we didn't have, you know, this anthropogenic global warming. What needs doing at this point is simply a much better scientific understanding of it. I mean, when I fly over the North Atlantic between Seattle and Europe, as I often do, I look down at the North Atlantic and I wish I were looking down and seeing sort of a fleet of oceanographic research vessels down there, you know, measuring the currents. I wish I, you know, saw a big system of buoys and with satellites in the air relaying them. And there's quite a bit of this that's been starting. But basically, the number of oceanographic cruises is not great. The number of climate modelers, the different groups that use big computers to study this, is not great. I mean, I'd love to see a doubling of all those things. And I'd particularly like to see some of the computer modeling groups actually tackling the problem of intervention. One of the wonderful things about computer simulation is that you can make your beginner's mistakes cheaply without suffering for it.
And isn't one of the, I quote you directly, I think, when you say one of the beauties of science is that it gives us a chance to make mistakes, and we've institutionalized the ability to make mistakes.
Yes, and learn from them. And this is something, I mean, the people that built medieval cathedrals learned from their mistakes, but the learning curve spanned quite a few centuries before they sort of learned that they could build cathedrals larger than a certain size without them collapsing 50 years later. That learning curve for how to intervene in this abrupt aspect of climate change, I think we can accomplish in computers. We hopefully will learn all the mistakes, but at least we'll be able to learn the beginner's mistakes. So those are the things, but it's basically science, and it, to some extent, it's trying to invent new technologies that would help these stabilize these downwelling of currents so that they do keep doing what they've been doing for the last 8,000 years or so of keeping Europe warm in the winter and keeping the rest of the world on the path it's been on.
Wouldn't it be fairly simple just to redig, how to say, remove the dam at the Isthmus of Panama?
Well,
Bill, do you have a quick fix here?
Well,
I'm an American. Yes.
If all the computer simulations showed that the restoration of the currents as they existed 3 million years ago, you know, would lead to stability, and if the computer models could invent a transition scheme that wouldn't create trouble, I mean, those are a lot of ifs.
Yes.
But yes, that is the sort of thing that you might be able to do.
But that kind of thing also would be a major roll of the dice, and you would want to be real sure of your models and real
yes.
sure of your data and real sure of your science before
right.
you launch into that.
But that, I think that is one of the prospects that our civilization will be able to count. There's a real use it or lose it aspect of
use it or lose it?
Use it or lose it aspect. I mean, you know, the
literally.
Climate stability has helped create civilization. Civilization is very much what we could lose with one of these crashes, because it isn't that people won't survive and agriculture will survive and so forth, but you'd be left with a world after downsizing by all the, you know, the warfare that would result. What you'd wind up with is a lot of despotic governments that all hated their neighbors for very good reasons. You'd have a situation like Yugoslavia and East Africa and so forth.
All over the world.
On a global scale.
And greatly exaggerated. That is, to me, a loss of civilization.
With a lot fewer people.
And I think that's what can be headed off. I mean, I think that we're capable of handling at least this abrupt aspect of climate change with science and technology that's not terribly advanced beyond what we know. It's not really a science fiction terraforming prospect.
I said you want to be real sure of your model, but at some point we will not be certain. At some point we're going to have to take some chances, aren't we? And the trick is to do the best science we can and then be prepared to...
Yes. Well, we're certainly taking chances now by doing all the things that we have been doing really thinking about the consequences of the CO2 we're putting in the atmosphere.
Much to think about. Quite a lot to do. William H. Kelvin, you have been informative as ever. Thank you very much for being our
thank
guest.
Thank you.
If you want to know more about climate change or about William H. Kelvin's work on the human brain, visit Dr. Kelvin's outstanding website at williamkelvin.com. We're grateful that Dr. Kelvin has applied his insight and knowledge to the challenging topic of climate change. Thank you, Dr. Kelvin. I'm Paula Gordon. I wish you well.